For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
All right, happy Earth Day to you on this Tuesday. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. A few people I want to thank real quick before we get going on this segment where it feels like the most important Texans kind of indirectly campaigning for who the Texans should select at 25. Before we get there, thank you to, first and foremost, B. Scott for joining us for an hour, as he always does on a Tuesday. Always fun to talk to our guy. And B. Scott's thoughts was interesting. I didn't think that he would, I don't know, back down is the right word, but he showed some trepidation after one game.
A little uneasy.
Shout out to Farron. Farron is the texter who wanted a shout out. Happy birthday. I appreciate you. Also, appreciation to Lady T on the Twitch chat. She sent in cookies, even though I specifically asked if you wanted to do something for me, put it on the Houston food.
Hey, we ain't listening to you, bro.
Man. What you mean?
We ain't listening to you.
Yeah.
These cookies are
you
nice.
You can't tell us what to do.
Why don't you donate one over here?
Yeah, I will donate one over there. That is fair.
And it will be for a good cause.
It's a great cause.
All right. Like I said, it is my birthday. What's that?
Julie?
Lady T. He didn't even hear. He just heard cookies. He heard cookies. He's like, this is a woman's name.
He said, what's her name? Barbara?
I thought he said Julie.
Who's that? You said Ethel? Thank you, Miss Ethel.
Esther? Okay.
Beulah? Was Beulah her
Not
name?
Beulah. That's crazy. All right. So CJ Stroud and Will Anderson Jr., I think those are your respective leaders on offense and defense. It's kind of crazy that those dudes are heading into year three, both of them, and they are easily the most well-respected, probably the most powerful guys on those respective sides of the football, and probably a couple of the most powerful guys if they were the type of people to exert their will in the organization. Is that unfair?
No, that's absolutely fair.
I don't think that they're that type of guys, especially because of they fit very squarely into the swarm mentality that the organization seems to have, which is fantastic. But they were both talking yesterday, and indirectly, because they're also, again, they're not going to try and impose their will, but indirectly, they both kind of made campaigns and cases for what the Texans do at 25. I'll start with the quarterback, C.J. Stroud. He was asked about a college teammate of his, Emeka Egbuka. And I think there's a lot of people who are looking at the possibility of wide receiver at 25 or in the first round to give C.J. Stroud some help. And so this is C.J. Stroud talking about Ohio State draft prospect Emeka Egbuka.
Yeah, me and Emeka, you know, we were very close at Ohio State, you know, and, you know, just time goes on. You stay connected, but it's just different, you know, not being in the same building and stuff. But, man, I do. He can call me anytime. It's my brother for life, and I'm super proud of him, just the man he's become, the man of God, first and foremost, and just, you know, that leadership that he's brought. And I remember him being, like, this number one recruiting receiver coming into our school, and, like, you know, and he came in. We just wanted to work. And so I know that he'll do the same thing, you know, coming to the league, and he's going to have no problem adjusting. I think he's going to be a long-time vet, just somebody who's going to make a lot of plays, reliable, going to block, you know, going to do everything that you ask him to do. But first, you know, he's going to be a leader. And I'm just excited to see, you know, him work out and G. Scott and Trey, you know, all those guys, you know, JT, Jack, all those guys I was there with, you know, to see them, you know, turning the corner on their college careers. And, you know, we're developed there. We're bred there. They teach us a bunch. They're hard on us.
All right, all right. Now he's just talking about all his Ohio. He's going into the Ohio State. The
hey,
whole
he was spitting right there.
He was spitting. Hey, I know you OH hey, spitting, all that. Man. I hear you.
But I-O, yeah.
We're focusing on Mekhi Buka, the wide receiver. So it felt like he was making a case, and not just that, a
kind of sorta, right?
Well, I mean, yeah. Not intentionally, but I think if you listen to what he's saying, I think that he makes a pretty strong case for why Mekhi Buka should be the pick at 25. And of course, we'll do this on the other side with Will Anderson Jr.'s conversation. But the things that I heard, and tell me if you hear them the same way. And this is even when he was just getting – well, he's talking about man of God, and I was like, oh, that sounds great. It sounds like Bible study will turn up. Yeah. Tank Dell, C.J. Stroud, now just throwing a Mekhi Buka, and we right there in the vibe of what this team has built, which is guys who like each other and want to play for each other, which isn't always the case, and I don't think it's inherent.
Commonalities.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessary to have a good baseball or basketball team. Rather, football team. Eventually I was going to get to the right sport. A good football team, but I do think it helps, especially in what they're doing. But on top of that, listen to the way that he described Mekhi Buka. Makes a lot of plays. Reliable. Willing to block. And is just going to do what you ask. If D'Amico Ryans was building a Houston Texans player in a lab, does it not feel like those would be the sugar, spice, and everything nice that he'd put into the pot?
I mean, for sure. You know, the thing that's worth noting and you have to note is there are a lot of players that do that.
Yes.
And they're not all wide receivers.
Correct.
You know, what I got out of it was the kind of sort of like, first of all, he's not going to say anything bad about anyone from Ohio State.
Certainly, but he put a lot on.
Yeah, it did sound sincere. And I think, you know, sure, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, let's say we go back 2 years and the Texans actually ask him about Buka, much like they did Tank Dell. I think he would go to bat for him. You know, that's where I would land with it. It's like, he's not necessarily, hey, you got to draft him, but if they ask him, he's gonna give him all the information.
No, and I think you're right. But yeah. When it comes to Buka, I think that he did a good job of highlighting the things that make Buka kind of a special prospect, which is that, like, this dude has a maturity that is different than, I think, a lot of wide receivers that come in where he just does everything right. Like, there's sometimes where talented wide receivers where, you know, they're so talented and they like to take a little leeway in the ways that they run the routes. And I think there's a level, sometimes some of that leeway is granted to them. This dude just kind of does the things that he needs to do. Like, when it comes to a route, he is just where he needs to be consistently. He runs great routes, mind you, so you don't have to worry about the quality and the caliber of the routes. I did appreciate the willingness to block, because that's not a guarantee when you talk about wide receivers, but it has been
noted. It's a non-negotiable here.
It is, and he fits in with that very nicely as just a very high floor. Like, I think I've heard draft evaluators talk about him and just like, you're not – he is probably as polished as you get when it comes to wide receiver dropping in this class immediately into that space. Even the dude who probably is the best wide receiver – who I think a lot of people are not even considering in their wide receiver rankings because he's just something else, with Travis Hunter, he is not even as close to as polished as a Mekhi Buka. So especially when you consider what this team is drafting that type of talent for, to immediately be able to impact the league right now, Mekhi Buka feels like one of, if not the best, like, options when you talk about adding talent to what this offense does.
And especially on a good team, I feel as if the term high floor gets a bad rap.
Sure.
I really
do. Because it typically goes with high floor but low ceiling.
Yeah, well, it does, but also, like, he has a high floor and people think, like, that's a bad thing. Or like, well, maybe we should go with someone else who has a high ceiling. No, high floor makes you a lot of money and wins a lot of games. You know, that especially on a team that has receivers already that are proven, like Nico Collins and Christian Kirk.
Did you make him Nick Collison, Seattle Supersonic and Oklahoma City Thunder?
A high floor is a good thing. Don't think of it as a bad thing.
No. So that is the one case on one side. Now we go to Will Anderson Jr., right? Mm-hmm. The spirit of the defense, the dude who is always effervescent, bubbly. He has that kind of energy to him. This is him talking about a dude that he played with in college and his relationship with the draft prospect, the offensive lineman out of Alabama, Tyler Booker.
Tyler Booker, man, I speak very highly of him, man. Great character guy, but I think he has all the attributes you need to play the offensive line position. He's a mauler. He loves to finish blocks. His leadership skills, his mentality. He wants to be the best, and he's really hard on himself. And, you know, I'm kind of the same way. And that's what builds you up. That's what makes, you know, who you are. And he has all those things, man. And I can't say enough good things about him, man. And wherever he end up, he's going to change that team, change that program, and change the offensive line for sure.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
The team changed the program, changed the offensive line. Does that not feel like something that this Houston Texans team is looking for, at least the fan base is looking for, when it comes to this offensive line in the 2025 season?
They've been
looking
for it since the end, the last game of the 2024 season. They made the changes. Their actions have said as much about that as anything we would say, you know, in terms of like the room and all that stuff. No, they mixed it up, you know, no matter what you might hear about, well, it wasn't necessarily about this or that. No, their actions said that they're trying to find that type of mentality in the room.
Called him a mauler, talked about his leadership ability. And one of the things that it sounded like that I thought was really cool is he basically likened him to himself, Will. Mm-hmm. And I know we've heard Tyler kind of talk about the ways in which Will Anderson Jr. was in some ways insightful to him and his growth as a player. I take you back to yesterday when D'Amico Ryans was talking and he was asked about like how his scouting ability has gone up. And he's like, if I could find Will Anderson Jr., you could hear the smile coming through the microphone. If Will Anderson Jr. is endorsing Tyler Booker as someone that is like him, does that not sound like something that the Texans would jump at the opportunity to have?
For sure. And both these players, you know, clearly are talked about a lot with the Texans. You know, we do have to just sort of measure it a little bit.
Sure.
That's an Alabama guy talking about an Alabama guy. That's an Ohio State guy talking about an Ohio State guy. So you know, it's not like take it with a grain of salt, not to that extreme, because there's benefits to it. They know those guys. You have to believe when he talks about, you know, the way that he conducts his business, or Ibuka as well. All I'm saying is, you know, they're not going to say anything bad about it. So you do have to, you know, measure it a little bit.
No, of course. They're not going to say anything bad, but I also don't know that they were glowing about both of these guys. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in particularly the ways that I think the Texans, it would hit the Texans' ears.
Sure.
Well, and so I guess the question that I ultimately had, because I found it interesting that obviously it's draft time. The people who are asking questions, they didn't just out of nowhere say, hey, let me talk about Tyler Booker, or let me talk about Emeka Ibuka. They were asked about them.
Sure.
But this juxtaposition is kind of interesting because, like I said, two very powerful, you know, dudes in this organization that spoke about these two players that very well could be there at 25 and could be decisions that that Nick Cassero and the organization has to make. Who you with? Like, are you with the Will Anderson Jr.? Are you with the CJ Stroud? Like, who would you want in that instance?
Especially
considering the ways that these guys describe those two players in those cuts.
I can't say this enough times because it just really is what I've been feeling for the last couple of weeks. I kind of want the offensive lineman, but I'm thinking the Texans are going to go wide receiver. I just can't shake that. Just the way that that reading between the lines, the way they're talking about. So I'm going to say Ibuka, or at least a wide receiver there.
Sorry, this is a text that came in that's a little bit off kilter. It's back. You called him Nico Collinson, and I was like, did you mean Nick Collison? And of course, Ron Hughley, the show of Kansas upbringing. For former first-team All-American and most outstanding player of the West Regional Kansas Jayhawks, Nick Collison.
Okay.
That's a lot, dog.
Okay.
You didn't feel no shame sending that to me?
We get it.
Anyways, I don't think I'd be upset getting a Mecca Gabuka. Like, he is the wide receiver.
I think they're going to go wide receiver, guys. I mean, to a spoiler alert, I mean, I think they're going to pick a wide receiver.
Which is funny because it does deviate from, I think, what a lot of people are hoping for in that wide receiver two position, which is some speed, right? Mm-hmm. Some speed to kind of challenge downfield, especially without Tank Dell. Some speed to, like, get to what C.J. Stroud loves, which is those, you know, those deep shots. But I kind of just love the idea of a wide receiver who is just really on his grind, that is also going to add in the blocking game, that is just a largely or close to fully formed version of what you want, dropping that in and immediately going, let's go flourish. I kind of love that idea. Real quick before we move this along, though, from the 281, could you see a situation where they draft Tyler Booker and then trade up for Emeka Ibuka late in the first round, a version of CJ and Will?
It'd be a lot. It would take a lot.
I don't know that it would take that much. The only thing about it is Emeka Egbuka, even if he is like, if he's not selected here, like let's say you
get into the first round, it's going to cost
Booker. Well, yeah, I feel like you might have to jump back into the first
round. I'm just kind of curious if they're going to be there enough to kind of jump up to get them. I feel like Emeka going to probably go earlier than we think.
Oh, see, I don't. I don't. Yeah,
I think he's getting a lot of run. I feel like somebody going to grab him before 25.
I mean, you get back into the first round, you're going to pay.
Yeah, but could you see early second? Because one of the things I was thinking about, especially if you get an offensive lineman that you feel like very, very nicely steps in and could be your replacement, like on in one of those tackle spots, like especially for Laremy Tunsil. Like for like, that would make sense, especially when you consider you trade out Laremy Tunsil, you're not paying his deal, and then you have the capital that you got for him. You put that back into the machine of sorts to bring out another, you know, he's not going to be Laremy Tunsil, or I can't assume that you get a guy that is Laremy Tunsil again when it comes to the pass blocking. But you get a dude who is a replacement at a much cheaper cost for more controllable, and you utilize the similar, if not, I mean, obviously, I don't think you should use all of the same capital that you got back for Laremy, but you use some of that draft capital to get that player back. I don't think that's an unfair perspective to view this at. So I think I would be an advocate of actually maybe not trading up that first pick, but trading up that second pick, that 58? And then moving up or further in the second round, earlier into the second round, and then getting another, like double dipping, whether it's two offensive linemen or a wide receiver and then an offensive lineman or what have you, or offensive lineman and then a wide receiver in that secondary spot. But I actually would very much be in on that idea, taking some of that additional capital that you got from the Laremy Tunsil, putting it back in so you can double dip in this strong pot of talented players that it seems like are going to be there from anywhere from 10 to probably about 45 or something in the draft.
And the 979 says, if you look at their top 30 visits, 7 of those were running back. I find that interesting. Yes, I made note of that last week, but that's not a first or second rounder, I believe.
I think that might be more third rounder into that space. But we'll see how it ultimately plays. 2 more sleeps till the first round of the NFL draft comes up for your Houston Texans. All right, you're in, and for the rest of the NFL, I guess. It's not just the Texans, just to be clear. But yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciation to the 346 X on the Jim Allen, the Texas Hammer text line. Donated $33 for my birthday.
There we go.
I appreciate you. I believe that's to the Houston Food Bank. Yes, Houston Food Bank. So yeah, keep doing that, man. Support Houstonians on this Earth Day. All right, coming up next, this is typically the time where we do our lunchtime confessions brought to you by the Men's Clinic, and we will do that next.